and the changing isn't free. You read it in the tea leaves and the cracks are on TV. Beware the Savage Shore, 1984. They'll spit your pretty cranium and fill it full of air and tell you that you're 80, but rather you won't.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Wednesday, July 6th, 2022. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I'd like to remind everyone, RBN is listener-supported, folks, so please donate whatever is manageable. And remember that free speech cannot exist without being funded by we, the people. You can use PayPal on the RBN website donate page. You can call our RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. Call in to donate at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can mail in that donation, cash, check, money order, payable to RBN, mailing address 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Please help ensure RBN continues broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. And I do have with me today a couple of co-hosts joining me, folks. I have Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Richard. Thanks for having me.
And I also have Paul in California joining us as well, folks. Hello, Paul. Okay. I had Paul with us. We'll just see if he... He has a little connection malfunction he resolves there. But, Stephen, did you have a good Federal Reserve Day?
Well, I fell asleep, and the fireworks were going off all around me, and I didn't hear once. I slept through the fireworks, but I had a good day. Yeah, a great day.
All right. Well, that's all you can really expect, yeah. I suppose. And as far as, well, how the news cycle, the climate out there, you know, for domestic politics as well as geopolitics. I mean, this whole Ukraine narrative they keep trying to steer through these. I mean, it's just harder and harder for anyone to believe. It's going to hit a brick wall pretty soon, where everyone's going to know that it's not going as rosy over there as the West has been trying to make it out. So I don't know. What do you want to comment on, you know, domestic politics, geopolitics?
As far as that goes, it looks like they're going to double down and try to create more war zones and some theaters of conflict. That Turkey and Greece are back and forth at each other and threatening each other. It's always stir up the war, stir up the distractions from what's really going on with the economy and the social engineering collapse in our society from within. I mean, that's kind of the way I'm feeling today. You know, I
and what
see
about,
all that.
Yeah. You were mentioning Norway recently. Recall the details. There were further tensions with Russia, did you say, regarding Norway?
Yes, there's an island, Svalbard Island, that there's some Russian miners on, and Norway was cutting the food off, and there's more, you know, saber rattling, so to speak, between the two, and it's they're starting to contest the Arctic, I suppose, for the resources is what this all boils down to, but more than anything else.
Hmm. Let's see, check our connection with our other co-host again. Paul, hello, sir. Do we have you with us?
I'm here now. For some reason, there was a delay. I couldn't hear anything for a couple of minutes, and then all of a sudden it clicked in.
Okay. All right, because, yeah, I was...
So how do you hear me? Am I okay? I'm on speakerphone right now. Is that all right?
Yeah, you sound okay. I was hearing a little bit of background noise. You could be a little closer, to a little louder, but I mean, you sound pretty good.
All right, I'm going to stop what I was doing and devote my time exclusively to you and Stephen. Good day to you, Stephen. How are you?
Howdy, Paul. Nice to hear from you.
Excellent. So you guys were talking about the latest, shall we say, the grand chessboard political theater of the Jew, making us worry about what Norway, the Arctic, Ukraine, Russia, nuclear war. You know, it's like after a while, you just go whatever. I think it's going to be a big fail. I really do. I believe that many of the things that I've been hearing from multiple sources, I tend to agree with, which is rare. I mean, a lot of times I have my own opinion about this stuff. But I do think that this whole effort by, quote, the West, which all we can just, quantify the West as Big Jew. I mean, let's face it, the West is Big Jew. And it's failing. They're not going to get us into a world war. We just don't have the chops. I just don't believe that, any of us, certainly not alone and even really together, would stand toe-to-toe with Russia, especially in their territory. I mean, let's face it, if we get involved, it's going to be over there. Not going to be over here. It's not going to be in a neutral site. It's over on their home turf, where they're going to have the logistical and tactical advantage. And I just don't think that most of these governments, as corrupt as they are, the heads of the governments are corrupt. But I think more and more people are waking up, and I just don't think they're going to buy into it at all. And it's going to, as we know, the economic sanctions are not working. And I am looking forward to a big fail, because I think that's what it's going to be. And I don't believe in nuclear war, because I don't believe in nuclear weapons. And we can get into that a little bit if you like, or it could be a topic for another day. But there's a lot of evidence that nuclear weapons are a hoax.
Yeah, some feel that as far as the success of the push toward globalism, all these Agenda 21 initiatives, World Economic Forum sort of directions, they're trying to push us with centralization, digitization. It's a symbol, Ukraine, we're told, of success, of the technocratic Judaic elites of the West. So, I mean, if you look at it internationally, some are claiming that. I've heard claims recently that, well, as far as just for the Democrats to get past this midterm election, they'll postpone the war another 3 months, even if they're going to lose right after that, just to get past this election cycle. I have trouble believing it could be that petty, and that, just like with COVID, that domestic politics here in this country steered where things were going, because both of those seem far bigger than domestic politics here. Do you want to comment on any of that, Paul?
Well, I think it's pretty well known, I mean, how I feel about domestic politics, and I think it's pretty, shall we say, there's a lot of concurrence out there, I would imagine, that domestic politics is just another tool or distraction weapon in the hands of Jewish power. I mean, you just cannot deny that they own and control all the media, and they have already bought and paid for a lot of these politicians. And who has the power to fake elections or to steal elections or to put up fake candidates? If people have not done the so-called research or the comparisons between the so-called real Joe Biden and the fake Joe Biden, I mean, that's just real stuff. I mean, the fake Hillary Clinton was a done deal, in my opinion. There's no doubt about that. You even had, the differences in the height and the weight. Forget about the various markers of the face.
Well,
and,
okay, but, yeah. Those things seem kind of petty. I mean, I think you'd have to be pretty new to independent media to think that these people don't have higher-ups giving orders, that they make their own decisions. Certainly, in the case of Biden than Hillary. To care whether or not they have doubles, or to focus all your time on that and the shape of their ear and all this stuff. It just seems like, to the average person, it could kookify the independent media here, and then they could just move on and not really catch a lot of the more vital information that we're trying to get out there about the systemic corruption. So, I mean, I don't know about if that topic is really where I would focus, but no, I get.
I was just using it as an example. So, you know, in other words, who has the power to do these things? And it's not any individual politician, and it's not, in my opinion, it's not a particular party such as the Democratic Party. You hear lots of people talking about the Democratic Party, but do you really believe an individual party, political party, has the power to do this stagecraft, this theatrical production? No, it's clearly the Jewish, you know, corporate, military, you know, banking infrastructure that rules us all. I mean, that was my point. It's not so much that, I mean, once you understand that it's complete theater, and you understand that a lot of these elections are a fraud, right? It's like, you know, it's like trying to tell Trump, you know, people that support Trump, you well, okay, he's going to come back in 2024 and he's going to win big. It's going to be a landslide. Well, wait a minute. He already did win, right? But he's not president. So what does that tell you? You know,
Stephen?
I mean, that was kind of more or less my point.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I to go back to the previous topic there with the ramping up of the war zones and the nukes, no matter what else those things are, they're definitely terrortainment that this they use as a weapon of mass distraction to keep us distracted from what's going on. Meanwhile, back at the ranch here, you know, the place is falling apart. You know, they're ramping up the violence between people, pitting everybody against each other, you know, corrupting law enforcement to the point where they just sit and go along with this thing in Uvalde, you know, and then people are dropping dead who are healthy from these death jabs. So, you know, all of those things I think are the most important, no matter how valid and interesting, and ultimately they will have things that they will have an effect on us, but they're more immediate things. And you said, who has the power with the political theater that's going on? And it does seem like they're all stolen. You're right. But the only people who have the power to do anything about it is us. We have to take this back ourselves, you know, and I don't know how that's going to happen, but that's the only answer to this. I mean, I'm tired of just being confronted by this huge Goliath that's coming at us and not, you know, it's,
well, we have,
go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't want anybody to go off on a rant.
No, but we have engineered shortages, weaponized economic system, which has always been bailing out the bankers and allowing things to continue as usual, or things getting worse in each economic cycle. I mean, certainly worse since Bill Clinton, for example, who made loosened restrictions on these banks. In general, the shortages are engineered. Having your own secure sources of water, food, you know, various supplies, fuel, and a network of people locally. I mean, it's starting to seem like that's all you can really try to invest in anymore, because even on the state level right now, everything is so corrupt. When you look at the COVID PSYOP and these shots, you know, the courts are not even hearing cases. Well, the lawyers won't even take cases because there's no justice right now. You look at January 6th, but then you look at all of these leftists over Roe versus Wade at various state courthouses who are, you know, getting treated with a completely different standard, double standard. Paula, you focus a lot, therefore, rather than domestic politics, left versus right, you focus on just racial realism and just people being prepared for the shift we've had in this nation. You know, I mean, this is about 100-year gradual shift demographically, and it's still taking place now. But I don't know. Yeah, it's you were sharing a video. Do you want to discuss that for a minute?
Well, sure. So as you may have been listening, I don't know, but last night on Jeremy's show, Stephen was on, and we were discussing some of these racial issues, including a particular case in Akron, Ohio, where a young white boy was basically stomped to death. And, you know, it got into, you know, black behavior. And what we all have to keep in mind, and I just really grow, you know, weary of so many white people that are just, in many cases, just stupid beyond belief to not understand the innate differences between we as a people and a race. So Stephen mentioned something last night, which, you know, just kind of stuck with me and just made me sort of start thinking about the big picture. He mentioned the fact that he had a black neighbor, and they were very, very good neighbors. And, you know, we've all had that experience, I would imagine. I mean, when I first moved on this street, there was a single black family. And, of course, they were, you know, middle class, and I think the wife was a school teacher, if I recall. This goes back a ways. And their kid, one of their kids, they had two children, a boy and a girl, and the boy was very intellectually gifted. He was in all the advanced classes, and, you know, he went on to, you know, do something with computers and so forth. But, you know, again, this is the exception and not the rule. So what made me think about it, when I saw that video, which you probably have seen and Stephen has hopefully seen, this is what you get when they're together in large numbers. So to have one black neighbor that's well-behaved is fine. But if you got 20, then there's a problem. And, you know, these sorts of studies have already been done from the perspective of real estate. You know, in other words, there goes the neighborhood. You got one family on a block, or maybe two or three black families in a two or three block area. That's one thing. But now you get 20 or more, and people are going to start moving away, and other, you know, white people are not going to come and buy. They're going to stay away from that neighborhood, and it's just going to go downhill, because whenever you get these people together in large numbers, they always act the same way. And it doesn't matter the standard of living. If you saw that video and you saw the background, those houses look nice. And you raised the question about whether they might even be able to own them or not. And I think that in many cases, there's some subsidization going on. But that could have been somewhere here in California.
I simply questioned whether or not any of those people in the video even live in the houses on that block, or if there was some, you know, event that day where they came through to demonstrate, and you know, sometimes you'll see leftist causes in like a more high profile suburb residential neighbor area. So, but anyway,
no. Well, let's not get astray here. That was not a demonstration. Yeah. That was some kind of social gathering or party that turned into a fight.
Oh yeah.
And the point is, you can.
And it was amazing how vicious these females are. Actually, the African American females.
But that's nothing, Richard. I don't know if you watched anywhere near. I mean, you can watch hundreds and hundreds of these. I don't know if I've watched hundreds, but over time I've watched dozens and dozens and dozens. They are legend, okay? You can see them on, not so much anymore on YouTube, but on BitChute and Rumble and World Truth Video and all these other sites. This is black behavior. This is black and Hispanic behavior when they get together. And, of course, it's a corrupting influence. They're going to bring down the level of society, the level of culture. That's their purpose. People don't understand this, but the Jews are only using them to bring us down. It's that simple. And we have to think in terms of the whole and in large numbers. Everybody gets caught up in the exception. Oh, I know somebody, they're really nice. That doesn't matter. Okay, the bottom line is this: is these people in many ways are still very primitive. You look at some of these twerking incidents, which you can see where they get up on top of a car. Sometimes it's a car that's stuck in traffic. I remember I saw one recently, and there was just some poor white guy, probably looked in his 50s or 60s, and you know, he was stuck in this, like, whatever it was, could have been a demonstration, and literally surrounded by hordes of black people, and multiple of these people jumped up on the hood, on the trunk, on his roof, especially these females, and they started twerking, and all the others were hooping and hollering. Who does that? Who does that? And it doesn't matter what level or standard of living. Many of them are fat. They're very well fed. They're living in houses. Okay, they got running water. They have technology. It doesn't matter. You cannot take the primitive nature out of these people. And it doesn't matter if we have another several hundred or even a couple of thousand years of evolution. It's not going to make a difference. People forget what the Europeans encountered when they went to Africa, or what the Spanish and the Portuguese encountered when they came to the New World. They encountered a Stone Age people that didn't have the wheel, didn't have metal weapons. I love to make the point, and I've done it many times before, about a lot of these blacks. We got a break coming?
Yeah, we got the break. Yeah. Hold on with that thought. We'll be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network
plus products at the best prices is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
We are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with Stephen Douglas Weitener and Paul in California. And Paul, so yeah, you were continuing a point. Basically,
go ahead. You were going to say?
No. Go ahead. I was just waiting for you.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, God bless the brakes on occasion to put the brakes on me. But, you know, so, yeah, sometimes, you know, I just get a little bit, we all lose focus talking about all this political stuff. And, of course, this is all Jew orchestrated, as we know. And in the end, as I've made the point so many times on this and other shows that I've called into, that ultimately this is a racial struggle. The Germans were exactly correct, okay? The Jews are an alien race, okay? They're a mixed race. What they're composed of has been debated, and you know, to me, I don't even care. You know, they're supposed to be
right.
with Mongoloids and maybe some black in them because of the curly hair and so on. And, you know, in the end,
Asiatic.
I don't care. Right. Yeah, exactly. Because it's one of those things where, you know, do we want to break it down and have an understanding? Do we really want to know more about history, or do we have to deal with the existential problem? And it's not a question; it's a problem, and we have an existential racial problem. Is we're allowing people in that have primitive stock. Okay, I was going down this racial track before where I've made this comment, and I like making it because it's important to understand the truth of it. Is these blacks that we're getting from Africa and other places,
They couldn't invent a paperclip or a cardboard box, and they didn't, okay? And if you think that that's just making, you know, light of something, hey, you know, go take a look. Watch a video on a cardboard box factory and take a look at the machinery and equipment involved. Anybody that's ever seen any kind of a manufacturing operation for any plant, you will see all kinds of specialized equipment. And just the gears and the pulleys and the bearings and the thought that goes into these things, these people are not capable of that. Okay, so here in California, just like so many other places, the Mexicans are dominating many of these blue-collar trades, including now construction. And okay, sure, a lot of them are good workers, but they couldn't invent a single tool that they're using on the job site, and they didn't. They can only use the tools that we provide for them, and in many cases, follow the directions and the plans that have already been laid down. And they're living in a situation that has been provided for them. Electricity, who do you think that is? Did blacks invent that? How about running water or the pipes that are capable of carrying water under pressure to deliver it to any location that we see fit? You know, the issue is that we are being destroyed, and one of the ways we're being destroyed is racially. And it is well known. Kevin Strom gave a great talk one time in one of his dissonant voices, and he was telling a story. It was actually the story of a crime. And the basis of the talk was what he called regression to the mean. So it doesn't matter if you, for example, are going to associate with, you know, very intelligent black, and, for example, you might even consider making a relationship or having a child. Just because this black, for example, is intelligent, that doesn't mean that you're going to have a little bit more of an intelligent child than you would normally expect. Just like, for example, two smart white people don't always produce a very intelligent white child. Just, for example, also two less than average white parents can sometimes produce a very intelligent child, and it's because of the racial stock, what I call the genetic selection wheel that we're drawing from. And when you look at the bell curve, okay, many people have made this point, and it's worth remembering, and if you overlap them, it becomes very stark. 90% of blacks fall below the white average, and that's even considering the fact that at least 34% of blacks here in America have some white admixture. This has been shown over and over again through genetic studies. So consider right. that. 34% of blacks have some white admixture. And despite that, 90% of blacks fall below the white average. So the midpoint of the IQ, you know, curve for whites, 90% of the blacks fall below that. And, of course, we know that a whole bunch of these blacks are extremely subfunctional. And they're not only a net economic burden in terms of just the money we spend on them, but there's a crime problem as well that's been covered up and hidden from us. So to those me, numbers, that video just – go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, those numbers are huge. And most people have trouble even accepting – most people have trouble even accepting that reality. They've been conditioned so much their whole life that just that level of racial realism. Never mind the next step, which would be, you know, what advice we would have for people when you see our culture, and that includes racial weaponization of other minority proxy armies by our ultimate enemy. You know, what sort of advice?
That's coming. That's coming.
Right.
And of course, it's going to fail unless enough whites are too weak and stupid to take it on and to nip it in the bud. Unless they bring in such huge numbers, and by the way, in the past, a lot of times it doesn't matter. The numbers don't matter if, you know, white are better organized.
We have the bottom of the hour. We have a couple callers. Before we continue this, we'll hear from the callers, and maybe we could share some perspectives. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
All the money, the bag, all those things I can never be sure where to begin.
We are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with Stephen Douglas Whitener and Paul in California as co-hosts today. And I said I was going to go to the phones. I will. I just want to give each of our co-hosts a moment to have the floor. Firstly, Stephen, your comment after sharing a bit of what you just posted in our chat here. You wanted to share this article as well from UNZ.com, UNZ. If some people are curious, that's the guy's last name. I think it's kind of a weird name for a website, UNZ.com. What I learned about race as a cop, and you have this quote from it, Stephen, that you shared. In the state I worked in, there were Black, Hispanic, and Asian peace officer associations. They were allowed to freely associate together, raise funds for their group, and even advertise themselves based solely on their racial identity. It was all perfectly acceptable, and whites were expected to support and celebrate it too. Yet white cops were never allowed to form the same type of associations based on their racial identity and interests. Any attempt on their part would be instantly condemned and attacked as quote-unquote divisive and quote-unquote racist. And yeah, Stephen, do you want to speak on that for a moment?
Well, yes,
and that double standard, by the way, is all Jewish constructed in our society. But go on.
Yes, the rest of the article is an excellent article, and it echoes pretty much everything Paul's been saying here. This cop, what he learned in patrolling different neighborhoods, and even he said even the black officers, that the black officers in their roll call would call out the behavior in the black neighborhoods, but a white cop would have been censured for saying that. Breaks it down from, say, the 80s is when he became a cop and describes how things went. It was an excellent read, and it echoed what we were talking about. I just wanted to share that with us, and that hypocrisy, that fact that we are condemned if we try to exercise the same rights as another racial group. We are just, I don't know what to call us. Just, were they scared of us, I reckon? I don't know, man. Right. Well, and I don't mean other races any harm just because I recognize these things. They assume I guess.
That's the conditioning out there. You know, if white people get together, it means that they want to kill everyone else and conquer the world. You know, that's the narrative ever since what we were told about Adolf Hitler, which wasn't true. And a Holocaust we were lied to, that never happened, this Holocaust. Well, here, now let's briefly just shift gears. Paul in California here. Paul, you wanted to read a bit from a letter, only about a minute and a half or something. Please.
Sure. Quickly, I will. I just want to just quickly comment on what Stephen said about, yes, the rights you're referring to are, for example, the rights to freedom of association, the rights to self-determination, the rights to, for example, advocate for our own interests and our own interests exclusively, and to not worry about the interest of others and to not be put in a position where we feel we owe others such things as a living or a nice place to exist and so on and so forth. This is the problem that we have. So, yeah, quickly, I'm just going to read a letter from 1974. And so hold on a second as I pull it up, and you may recognize who it's from. I won't tell you who it's from until I'm done. It's a letter to Caspar Weinberger, Secretary of the Department of Health Education, dated December 30th, 1974. By the way, 74 is the year I graduated high school. Dear Mr. Weinberger, last Saturday evening, I saw a television commercial broadcast by NBC, which was sponsored by the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. The commercial was in the form of a monologue by a pretty blonde girl performing calisthenics, and the propaganda message was, "Wouldn't it be terrible if America were all white?" Of all the racially destructive enterprises in which your department of the federal government has been engaged, I don't believe I've ever seen anything else which so clearly expresses the true motivation of you and your coworkers. You are to be congratulated for your frankness in this particular instance. I am a little annoyed, I must admit, when I consider that as taxpayers, we are obligated to pay part of the bill for you to produce and broadcast such vicious propaganda. It is because of this that I am moved to ask you the following questions. One, do you have any pamphlet, policy statement, or any other available publication which clearly sets forth the aims and underlying philosophy of your racially oriented television commercials? If so, I would greatly appreciate a copy. Two, do you have any specific statutory authority to spend money for such propaganda activity? Please cite this authority. And three, what are your plans for continuing such activity in the future? And he goes on a little bit more, but I'll end it here by signing, sincerely, William L. Pierce, Editor-in-Chief, National Alliance. 1974.
Yeah, that's who I thought too.
Yeah, I can't imagine who else would have worded it in quite such an eloquent and succinct way.
So, gentlemen, we have a problem that is more than a generation or two old. It's continuing. It's ramping up. We must think racially, act racially, organize racially. I, like a lot of people, don't give a damn about the Constitution, democracy, republic, or any of that nonsense, because it's all Jewish propaganda.
Well, with that, let's go to the callers. First, waiting patiently, we have John in Tennessee. John, thank you for holding. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, I want to make two comments. One is on something you mentioned yesterday about Canada supposedly expecting people to be updated with their shot every 90 days or 9 months. Gentlemen, if we're headed by their own admission to a transhuman existence where we're going to be man and machine? Are these vaccinations nothing more than an update to an operating system that will eventually cause people to become nothing more than an automaton, like you might see in Walt Disney World in the Hall of the Presidents, saying and doing as you're told? Now, I want to comment as well about Israel that's brought up today, and I've got to wonder, and allow me to finish, how a country the size of Israel, with probably no more than maybe 1,000 people controlling the entire nation, controlling 350 million people in this country to do their bidding. And my speculation and my understanding is that these people in Israel are a different species, not a different race, a different species. They are of their father, the devil, which is what Jesus said in, I think it was in Luke. He told the Pharisees, Abraham is not your father. If Abraham was your father, you would love me, and you seek to kill me. So who's controlling Israel? Again, who's who in the zoo? I'd like to hear your comments.
Well, I have more questions. Yeah, I'd love to hear the comments from my co-hosts for you, John. Mine is more a question for you than a comment per se. In your interpretation there, the references we've heard to the Nephilim, is that what you would ascribe to the Nephilim, or would you consider the Nephilim could perhaps not necessarily be them and of the devil's motives?
Well,
perhaps more Nephilim, neutral or more good, perhaps.
The Nephilim, in my understanding, is the offspring of the fallen angels and the human women. I think that the people in Israel are basically, I believe this wholeheartedly, the government in Israel are a seed of Satan. There are those that say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. And as far as Nephilim, it's interesting that the study of clouds is called nephology. I find that really intriguing. I'd like to hear Paul's comments as well as Stephen's.
Paul?
Well, first of all, John, thanks for calling. I've always appreciated your calls. I do totally agree with you on the shots and what's known as graphene oxide that's contained in them. I highly recommend, there's a couple of videos posted up here and there. The guy that heads up La Quinta Columna, a lot of people that have looked into the contents of the vials of the vaccines will be familiar with the work they've done. And in probably about 2-hour interview, he goes into exactly what this graphene in these shots are doing, besides harming a lot of people. They're basically going to end up being receivers, magnifiers of the electromagnetic field, and they're just going to allow us to become part of this weird dystopian techno matrix that these creeps have in mind for us. So it's unfortunate that a lot of people were fool enough to allow themselves to be injected. And of course, the whole purpose of the boosters is apparently there is a little bit of a shelf life to the graphene and the amount that's in us and the functionality of it. And occasionally it needs to be boosted. So when you watch these videos about what he considers to be the purpose of the graphene, it's just nightmarish beyond belief. I am no scholar or expert on the Nephilim. And it's all very interesting to me, but in the end, I don't care. We can identify the enemy. We know who they are. And what we really need to do is get together and deal with them. And as soon as we make our minds up to do that, we can win.
Stephen.
Well said, and I don't think they could be any more evil, even if they are aliens from some other race, the ones controlling Israel in this whole process that's going on, the ones at the top, so to speak. That I agree that if they're not demons, then it seems like it would even be less evil if they were aliens from another world. These people supposed to are live here among us, are from here, and to do that to us, it's just disgusting. And I agree with you.
But John is suggesting that they are another species. Much of this. Do you think that
I would agree with that. In fact, there's a lot of evidence that they're Neanderthal. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, I'm not well enough informed about that to give a really, you know, informed opinion. I will discount it, okay? I sure would like to know more about it. But like you said, it doesn't matter. We know what they are, what they're doing, you know, and who they are, too. In the biggest picture, like you said, it has to be dealt with. And I do believe that the shots, that is their plan. They consider us hackable animals, and this is part of the hack, along with the whole grid that they're building. That's this dream of theirs. That's why? I mean, why do they have to destroy everything like that and go Frankenstein? I mean, the technology and the scientific developments could be turned and used to make living better instead of worse. Yeah, it's just that. Yeah, that's what irritates me the most.
We have another caller, John. If anything else, sir?
If what I am saying is true, Stephen, then just as we're downing an entire nation of people that, for the most part, are happily ignorant and innocent of what their government is doing, just like many in this country don't realize that our country has the same entities, the same species running us. That's why they're able to do the things that they do and go to sleep at night, allow abortion, allow blood drinking, allow sacrificial death at an abortion clinic, allow what I believe to be a human meat market. These organs that are being harvested by abortion are not going for medical testing. They're going on someone's barbecue pit that is pure evil. It doesn't. They love cows and they love pigs, but they love them. They don't want to eat them. They want to love them. They enjoy eating children. They enjoy eating organs from harvested children because they are, what the Bible says, consuming my people as bread. They're literally, and we hear it in fairy tales, man, Jack and the Beanstalk. The giant smelled the blood of an Englishman and was going to grind him into bread and consume him. That's history being told in a way that allows a teacher to keep their head on their shoulders. We need to wake up and understand that they are obliged to tell us what we're doing. It's whether or not we have ears to hear and eyes to see and the Holy Spirit in us to give us discernment and understanding. And I appreciate you letting me get it out. But there are good people that live in Israel just like they are here, and the government in Israel is just as evil as the government is here, maybe more so. But they're all related with the blood. The people that are controlling this nation are the same species as those that are in Israel. That's why so many of our leaders, what do they call it, dual citizenship? That's why Ancestry.com and 23andMe and the bloodline is so important. They want to identify themselves so that they don't wind up killing one of their family members. Thank you all.
Well, thank you for all that, John. I always appreciate your calls, sir. And as far as the reference to my Nephilim question, the Nephilim, I wouldn't necessarily assume they are evil. There could be some truth related to different genetic lineages, you know, various species, and they're not necessarily all what we would ascribe to, well, just satanic in nature, or just, I don't know, what is that, inherently evil, or going against nature? Some suggest Satanism is living with nature, but at the same time, I could believe that there are, you know, various hybrids among us, that we are not all perhaps the same species. On this planet, there's so much distortion that Jews have done to any sort of like research into bloodlines and eugenics. Not all eugenics is bad, and I don't think what the Third Reich had embraced was a negative form of it. And I hate how these people try to have these broad categories for eugenics, for that matter. But certainly, what we have from these elites right now, whatever you want to ascribe their bloodlines, they certainly are a negative sort of eugenics that's far more ruthless in trying to decide for all, play God with others' lives and what have you. But, Emeril, maybe we can skip this last break to try to fit these other callers. Next, we have Dave in New York. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, hello, Richard. Sorry, I had to get it off. Yes, it was interesting. There's a scripture that says that allow the tares to grow with the wheat until the harvest. And at the harvest time, the reapers, which are the angels, it's a parable which is interpreted. The reapers are the angels, and they bind the tares together and they burn them. And who they're referring to, what they're referring to, is not entirely clear. But I think that was relevant to John's statements as well. The bigger picture, I think, we need to withdraw consent. And just yesterday, I was thinking about the Georgia Guidestones, that we should write a formal letters rejecting all of the suppositions there and send them into our governments. Well, look what happened yesterday. Spiritual forces, even my thought, the thought of many, many people together collectively, has resulted in partial destruction of this, in a sense. Very interesting coincidence, if you ask me. And the problem is not does not stem from the existence of various races on the earth, I don't believe. The most black people that I know are successful, hardworking people. They are the darkest people. And guess where they came from? They didn't come from American culture. They came from Africa directly. They came here to work, and they're working hard. Of course, there could be criminals. Here we have a cultural problem. But I do find that the dark people here, they supply diversity and different viewpoints, and they're very direct. So I always appreciate diversity. I thought my whitewashed high school experience with people worried about what they were wearing was rather empty and useless. And thus, I experienced different cultures in graduate school as well, especially Chinese, obviously. So then the other question that arises here is the origin of these subgroups, the Negroid, the Mongoloid, and the Cossackoid. And what about the Indians from India? They seem to be rather unusual. I don't know where they came from. I would like to address this information to a Christian anthropologist, one of two that I knew, the other one just recently passed. How in the world would these people arise from Noah's Shem, Ham, and Japheth? It's rather odd, and you wonder if these stories are metaphorical. Paul, you may have some commentary on this, as you've studied the genetics of people more than I believe.
Well, I don't know if you could say that. I don't know what you would mean by studying genetics. I would just say, without really being insulting, is you and everybody else can have their diversity. I don't give a damn about people from Africa, Asia, or anywhere else. I want them out, okay? If I had dictatorial power tomorrow, there would be so much deportation. There would be weeping and lamentation, okay? And I've had my fill of Indians out here in California. Believe me, they're not the kind of people you want to populate your society. They are different.
Well, certainly I know they can be liars, and I've run into that, and even murder. I ran into that with those kind
of people. Listen, let's try to continue this more. Maybe next time I have you gentlemen on, and Dave, maybe you could join. But I just have one more caller and only like a minute or two left. Well, thank you. Let's go to James in Vancouver. Hello, James. Hey, welcome. It's been a while. What's on your mind, sir?
Yeah. So Zelenko died yesterday. You heard of Dr. Zelenko?
I heard a bit of how he's pushing it back against the shots and the COVID procedures.
He died of cancer a day ago or so.
Yeah, I heard he had the cancer for a while though. So I mean,
he was 40. He was 43. Hello? He was 43.
He looked older than that.
Yeah, right.
I thought he was older than that, too. Yeah.
I just turned 70 yesterday.
Happy birthday.
I guess he didn't read my book. You guys are you're scrambling for it, but I'll tell you what, if you don't shut that border down in Texas, it isn't going to matter what you say. You're all going to be swamped, okay? So have a good day.
Come on.
come on down and lend a hand, Dave.
Yeah, right. You and me together.
Yeah.
Well, no, James, was there something else? James, was there something else you wanted to add? I mean, we have a minute or two more here, it looks like. It looks like he dropped. Stephen.
Yeah, that's the biggest issue. We have no border, and they're shipping people over and paying them way in. It's an invasion. It's ridiculous. The things that have been done have been dysgenic. I mean, the administration has been encouraging the worst possible de-evolving these people basically in the ghetto. You know, it's ridiculous what they've done socially, at least, if not genetically, and even then it's something that wouldn't be this bad if we hadn't done that. But you know, I can't argue with Paul about this. It's like, you know, what else could we do? We're gonna have to isolate ourselves somehow and protect ourselves from that,
and to think that's some of how our society has changed over the last 100 years or even less, that it has a strong amount to do with the demographical change we're experiencing. I'd say, as someone who hasn't really researched enough of this information yet and just looked at, I mean, history speaks for itself on a lot of these topics. I don't know, I could cite someone like Dr. Kevin McDonald, and Dr. David Duke. Read Dr. Kevin McDonald's work, Dave in New York, I would suggest. Paul, do you have any last words?
Well, I appreciate all the time that I got today. Probably a little bit more than usual when I went on my rants. That's always good. This show could easily be a 2 or 3 hour roundtable discussion of the topics that we brought up. And again, as I've always said, this is a racial war, first and foremost, in my opinion. The other economic is just another means of destroying us.
And Stephen?
Everything's a weapon in that. Weapon of mass distraction along with the real ones that they're hitting us with.
You just dug up an interesting story, Stephen. From Fox News, Georgia Guidestones explosion. The blast has destroyed a large portion of the monument, police say. That just came out July
6th. I'm sorry.
Really?
I'm kidding, folks. Don't do that.
No, that's interesting.
It really is. We'll have to look into it more and discuss it further, gentlemen. Thank you so much. It was a great discussion.
Thank you, Richard. Thanks, Paul. Really enjoyed it. Commit thought crimes, everyone.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Richard.
And please support RBN, folks. Your listener support is what keeps everything running here. Keeps all this free speech broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Stick around for Patrick Slattery with National Bugle Radio. Always an excellent broadcast. And we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.